WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
We made it. We're live. We're live. For 3 hours of Raw. We made it. How about that? How about that? This is the Raw Post Show presented by GirlWork.net and MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. I am Sir Rockin. That's Lindsay Ward.
Hey, I made it through 3 hours of Raw. Go me. Because I didn't last week.
I mean, it shouldn't be like an accomplishment that pops up on Xbox. Hey, you made it through 3 hours of Raw. But there are some weeks where that is an achievement that needs to happen. We just need the little alert. Hey, you made it through 3 hours of Raw.
Can I get 10 stars on my battle star in Fortnite, please?
In your battle pass? Yes.
Hey, we made it through 3 hours of Raw. Can we get 5 gifted subs?
Can we get 5 gifted subs? Anyway. So, tonight's show started off in a, I guess I could spin it like this. It is the holiday season. It was Festivus with Seth Rollins. It was the airing of the grievances. As he came out to open up Raw, he called out Baron Corbin, and he just listed off all the grievances that everyone here on the internet has had about Monday Night Raw, and how much, since Baron Corbin has been the focus, how Raw has sucked. He brought up misuse of talent, like the Revival. He brought up what the hell a Lucha House Party match is, which we did not see tonight. Someone realized, hey, that's a stupid gimmick. He brought up how, you know, the ratings have tanked. The audience has tanked. They went legit. Here's what everyone's been complaining about. Here it all is. Let's talk about it.
I have to say, I really liked how they addressed the elephant in the room with this, which is, you kind of can't not talk about it with, you know, in terms of your ratings tanking, in terms of people, massive complaints. Like, everybody complains about Monday Night Raw from then and again, you know, and like, usually every week somebody hates something or somebody generally bashes the crap out of the show. But the last couple weeks have had massive levels of complaints just in terms of the entertainment value. We joke about the fact that we made it through 3 hours of Raw, but I am not kidding. I fell asleep last week in the third hour.
About 10:30, she was done.
I was done. I could not stay awake to make it to the end, let alone to do a show about it. So that should tell you something, that I couldn't even make it to the end of Raw last week and stay conscious. So the fact that you had Seth Rollins go out there and address that and say, you know, hey, look, yeah, it's been, and, you know, yeah, they're pinning it on Baron Corbin for the storyline purposes, but it's like, hey, yeah, the writing's been bad and, you know, nobody's entertained and nobody's having fun and nobody's stepping up to fix it.
Yeah. He also made mention to, you know, Brock Lesnar Where's Brock? He's your champion. You helped him get the championship back. He hasn't worked a match on Raw since 2002. 16 years. 16 years. That's an incredible stat. It's a true one, but it's like, oh, yeah, it has really been 16 years. So anyway, after the airing of the grievances, Seth Rollins challenged Baron Corbin to a fight. Baron Corbin's like, no, I'm not going to fight you. But then he called him a coward and a coward and a coward, and he said he'd challenge him to a TLC match, and he's still coward, coward, coward. Baron Corbin won't do it. But then he's like, you know what? Fine. It'll happen. It'll be for the Intercontinental Championship. He got under his skin enough, and he got a title match, because let's give away a TLC match 6 days before we're supposed to pay for it.
Well, okay, but to be fair, it wasn't between Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. It was between Seth Rollins and Baron Corbin, which, all right, that's fine. And it wasn't between Baron and Braun. Again, Seth and Baron were the ones that did it. So you kind of get a little teaser for what it could be. And let's just talk about the match. The match itself wasn't really that bad.
It was good. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah, it was good. It was very entertaining. There was a lot of action in it. They didn't exactly take this same amount of risks, which we'll probably see on Sunday. But they took enough to where it was an exciting match. I can't say anything bad about it, honestly.
I can. I can.
All right. You know what? Go off. Just go off.
Why is Heath Slater in the ring?
Because Heath Slater is on Baron Corbin's payroll.
But referees are not supposed to be in the ring in ladder matches. They have no purpose being in there.
It's his first day.
Again, okay, even better. The finish, okay, after Rollins put Corbin through a table, he goes up and climbs. Slater stops and pushes the ladder over, what have you. And then he helps Baron Corbin out, tries to get the thing. Seth makes the save, yada, yada, yada. And then he super kicks Heath Slater, right?
So that's going to be a fine.
So he's out cold, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then Seth grabs the bell, right? And the bell rings. Why? How did the bell ring? I thought the official was knocked out.
The timekeeper's been doing this long enough, they just know. Somebody grabs the belt off the thing, and hey, look, we have a winner. Ding, ding, ding.
But that was only my complaint. I got it, but it's still... Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the timekeeper is more observant than the refs.
We've seen that in the past where the timekeepers rang the bell before. Anyway.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Match was good. It was fine. It was enjoyable. Seth Rollins is still your Intercontinental Champion. Dean Ambrose there to mount the end Monday Night Raw.
I will say I liked the Seth and Baron Corbin stuff overall. It was nice to have somebody sort of push on Baron, because you have Baron playing the smug authority figure abusing his power. I like that you're having him start to abuse his power more. You know, and the fact that he forced Heath last week to fight Rhino, and the winner got a job, the loser got fired, so we said goodbye to Rhino last week, and Corbin gave Slater his job in quotations, which is to be a ref.
The one thing about this show that was made very clear: Seth Rollins is now the focus.
Yes, they're turning their attention off of Baron Corbin.
They finally now, okay, Seth Rollins is going to be the number one. Whatever happened, whenever Braun comes back, whether it's Sunday and he wins and he's going to get the title shot at the Rumble, if that's the thing, it's still clear. Seth Rollins is now being put into the number one position, because Braun Strowman's not going to be that guy. It's going to be clearly Seth Rollins. Like, they made him the leader. Like, he was coming out and saying, if he's going to be the leader of the locker room or whatever, then he's got to address this stuff. So it's like, it took them this long. They finally figured out, okay, now we need a focal point. Seth Rollins is now going to become the focal point of the show.
And the thing is like, in terms of that roster, in terms of who's there right now, Seth Rollins can do it. He did it before for a year with the authority behind him. So now you're kind of flipping the script. You're having him be the babyface in the situation. And he can do it very, very well. I don't think they'll have a problem with it. It'll be interesting to see, when the world title comes back into the picture, how that goes. I like that they're making Seth the focus. He's the IC champion. They're making that title important again, because, again, we're back in that situation where Brock is not around. There is no Universal Championship, so you only have two men's titles on the show, and one of them needs to be important, because clearly the tag titles are not. So because of that, they're now pushing the IC title, which is nice to see. So yeah, I think there were some reflections that have happened in the show. And because of that, we're now starting to see a little bit of a refocus in different areas.
You mentioned the tag titles, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have brand new tag team champions on Monday Night Raw. Feel good moment, by golly, on this show. When Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, who now have matching gear, defeated the AOP and Drake Maverick in a 3-on-2 handicap match. When Drake Maverick's ego got the best of him, and Bobby Roode schoolboyed him, rolled him up for the 1-2-3.
I'm so conflicted about this, because on one hand, I really love Bobby Roode. I want nice things for Bobby Roode, and I'd like to see him push to the moon and back. That being said, you had something really good up until Survivor Series with Drake and AOP. Mm-hmm. You finally were getting AOP back on track after they came to the main roster. They vanished for various reasons, and then they were just a joke. So now they're back on track. They're winning matches. They're dominant. You have Drake managing them. He's doing a great job with it, because he can be that mouthpiece that they desperately need. Because again, they don't cut their own promos. They tried that. It didn't really work for them. They need that Paul Ellerling that they had in NXT that made them so successful, that he could cut those nefarious sort of promos that's like hyping up how badass they actually are. And so you have that in Drake, right? He's doing that. We hit Survivor Series and Drake just happens to pee himself all on international television, which was really disgusting. And ever since then, we've seen this massive downward spiral with AOP, where they've taken the focus off of the tag team, put it on Drake and his inability to not piss himself or anything else around him. It's worse than a dog in some cases. It's just like, I was so disappointed. Like, I was really happy for Bobby and Chad because it's like finally they're doing something with them. But I was really disappointed that this is how AOP lost the titles. Granted, neither one of them were pinned, but it's just like, really, this is how you're going to do it? You're going to have Drake lose the titles for his team?
You knew going in that was going to be a case. One, it was a handicap match. Two, Roode and Gable had matching gear. And three, AOP did not get an entrance.
Oh, I knew that. I knew all of that going in. But still, it's like, it's just really disappointing that this is how you're going to do AOP.
Yeah.
Like, and I get it. Raw doesn't have a tag division. All the credible tag teams are on SmackDown. All of them. Every single last one of them. So you're literally slapping tag teams together. I mean, where the hell is the B team? Where are they? We kind of saw the revival last week, I think.
We saw them for the last 2 weeks, losing to the Lucha House Party.
We have Lucha House Party. You have...
The Revival.
Who the hell else is on Raw?
Not many.
Technically, the Deleters of Worlds, but one has retired, I think, and the other one deleted his Twitter posts and just has been posted one really random thing. I think he's coming back. I have no idea. It's been 4 months, 3 months since we've seen him.
Seen who? Who?
Bray Wyatt. Don't know where he is. No clue.
No clue.
I mean, at this point, I'll see him under my Christmas tree before I see him on Monday Night Raw. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. Raw does not have a tag team division, but that being said, did you have to do AOP like that? Like, they were one of your few credible teams. Especially a heel team.
Yeah, well, we'll see how they get their heat back in the new year. Then there was Natalya Neidhart.
Oh my god, this segment. This whole story.
She talked about her love for the business and how Ruby Riott doesn't respect this business. And she made things personal when Ruby destroyed her father's sunglasses. She took exception when Ruby says she uses her feminine name. And she talks about how she's had to overcome so many things, including the Montreal screwjob. Question, chat, anyone. How did the Montreal screwjob affect Natalya Neidhart?
I'm sure she got teased a lot about it in school.
How did the Montreal screwjob affect Natalya Neidhart?
Excuse me. Well, it did, you know, sort of humiliate the family and, cause a massive rift for years.
It was 21 years ago.
It's all they have.
It did.
Okay?
You know they're trying to get heat when they bring up the Montreal screwjob.
I think somebody, again, Vince. There was retooling.
Vince.
There was refocusing.
Vince.
Vince. in this storyline, and they realized that, hey, maybe using Natty's dead father was probably not the best of ideas here.
But hey, she's dedicating the match to her dead father, Jim Neville, not Hart.
And I'm very happy for her. But again, you're using... This is another one where it's like, I'm really happy that they're taking a real life situation and they're applying it to a storyline and they're using it as a driving force of a storyline. Problem is you're not writing it properly. And so it's just coming off really convoluted in the sense that, okay, you had Ruby Riott break the sunglasses. And ever since then, it has spiraled into this thing that's all about Jim Neidhart for some random reason. And now you're bringing up the Montreal Screwjob, which really even didn't have
nothing
anything to do with him.
Zero.
It had nothing to do with her father. It had everything to do with her uncle.
Yeah.
But it had nothing to do with her father, which is just confusing in and of itself. But it's just like, Natty deserves, and I'm sure she's doing this with full blessing and consent and all this, but Natty deserves better than this. I'm sorry. She does.
So, she does.
Ruby deserves better than this. Like, the fact that they're just, like, they're, you can tell both of them are doing their best and trying to make the best of this entire storyline, but it's just, like, it's a struggle.
It is a struggle, but I will say this about Ruby Riott. She's doing it, playing her part really well. The way she comes off as a slimy heel works perfect for her.
Like, oh, yeah, she's great as a slimy heel.
She came out, talked about how, oh, look, Natty's crying again, like we've never seen it before. Like, it was perfect. She brings out a table with Jim Neville not hard on it. She's going to put her Natty through it so she can closer with her father and what have you. Like, it's, I was more, like, I know people are offended by all that stuff. I was more offended by the damn Montreal Screwjob than I was the family stuff, because it just, I don't like it being brought into it. And, like, I just zone out when it's brought up. And I hate saying that, but that's the way it is.
I feel like the Screwjob is the most overused thing in wrestling. And granted, they haven't used it in years.
No,
but it's like,
it's not been years. It's been a year or two.
Okay, fine. A year or two. But it's like, anytime the Harts are involved. And I get it. That's the biggest thing they have, is the Montreal Screwjob. Like, it all emanates out from that. But it's just like, it's old. It's tired. It was 20-something years ago. Let it go. Like, just let it go. And, you know, y'all just, I'm sorry. You just, at this point, you're beating the beyond dead, buried horse.
Yeah.
With it.
Yeah, you are. Also,
and I know it's not them. I know it's WWE. I'm not blaming the Harts at all, but it's like, it just feels like that's just the go-to with the Harts. Is it's, oh, we're doing a Harts storyline. We got to bring up the Screwjob. People still care about the Screwjob. No, we don't.
No.
No, we really, 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 really don't. Stop bringing it up.
Also on the show, Drew McIntyre beat Dolph Ziggler because we needed to see the match again. This time, Drew got the win, and then he laid out Dolph Ziggler multiple times on the outside.
With drop kicks.
With the running kick, yeah.
And Adam Pearce was just like, really, really, dude, seriously?
So, yeah, it's like, we're establishing Drew on his own, yada, yada, yada. It was fine. He's going to face Finn on Sunday. Speaking of Finn Balor, he was removed from the mixed match challenge because he is sick. Apollo Crews is now taking his place.
Feel better, Finn.
Bayley took on Alicia Fox, who had Jinder Mahal in her corner. Bayley had Sasha. Bayley got the win. You had Apollo Crews run out. Apollo Crews threw Sasha Banks onto Jinder and the Singh brothers. They're making the best of an illness. It's the best way to put it. Then you had Dean Ambrose being interviewed by Charlie Caruso. She introduced him as the Lunatic Fringe. He took exception to that. He questioned why he would set the point title on the line against Corbin, but then it's all about ego. Ambrose stopped short of calling Rollins a piece of, you know what. And then said Rollins is still the IC champion. Rollins is still IC champion after all. Then he'll take his title on Sunday and tell him what he thinks of to his face. And then Charlie asked the question, what would Roman's reaction be? And his response was, Roman? Who cares? I know probably people on Tumblr and Twitter were offended by that. That's the right answer.
That's the exact right answer.
Roman's opinion doesn't matter. Should that question have been asked? Hell no.
Yeah, at this point, keep Roman out of this. Just, I mean, honestly, Roman is off taking care of what he needs to take care of, and we all hope he takes care of it and comes back. I mean, nobody is saying anything the contrary. I can speak. And if you are, you need to look at your life hard. But yeah, I mean, keep Roman out of this. This is between Dean and Seth. Roman is, he's a non-factor in this. Whatever this is, whatever Dean's reasons are between him and Seth, and that's it. Because this rivalry is already so incredibly personal, heading all the way back to when the turn happened with Seth Rollins and he joined the Authority and yada, 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 yada. All of that. And that's where Roman connects back into this, is that moment in time and then moving forward. But with Roman's departure, this is now sort of whittled its way back down to Dean and Seth, which it did before. That's what this rivalry is. Keep Roman out of it. Unless you're going to have him come back and be a part of it in some way, which I don't think you should, just keep him out of it.
Elias took on Leo Rush and his under-ruse. And Leo Rush got the win after Slater did not call for disqualification as he was a referee here, as well as in the main event, as they used a guitar over Elias. And then Leo beat Elias for the 1-2-3. It is what it is. Sets up the match. Speaking of, we had graphics later in the show where it said Bobby Lashley and Elias were going to be now competing in a ladder match with the guitar hanging above the ring. If you have... And but I guess apparently Cole did not see the graphic on the screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, we have breaking news. So he turns around to his desk, picks up his script, and starts reading it on page 5, 6, whatever, of his paper packet of his script. It's not paper. It's not a breaking news if it's in your script, 6 pages deep.
Yeah.
Just saying. If you wanted to make it seem like breaking news, just pull up a piece of paper and not your actual script.
Well, if you wanted to make it seem like breaking news, you have him standing there and you cue him in the truck when the graphic's coming on and it's, oh, hey, breaking news, we're going to have this match at TLC like you normally do. So I think what happened is somebody missed their cue somewhere. I don't think it was on the truck end. I think it was on the Michael Cole end.
Uh-huh.
And he forgot what it was. And so that's why he had to grab the script, was to remember what it was. I think that's what that actually happened, is somebody just missed something somewhere. But yeah, normally it's like you just, hey, breaking news, we're going to have Elias and Bobby Lashley fight in a guitar on a pole match at TLC this Sunday.
Yeah, pretty much.
By the way, can we not have Bobby Lashley wear a leather vest ever again, please? It just... Especially when he's nearly a rush. It just gave me all kinds of visuals that I do not need in my life. Can we not do that, please?
So we had Alexa Bliss come out to moderate a face-to-face confrontation, press conference, whatever, between Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey. Nia trying her best, talking the talk about, you know, the fist and everything, and how she's going to win, and it's going to bring back her title. Nia Jax, please don't scream ever again. I didn't even have headphones on to hear your scream, but it hurt my ears so much. Don't ever scream. I know probably Vince gets a kick out of it. Please stop screaming. It is terrible. It is the worst thing ever. It is Vicky Guerrero-esque.
Yeah, please don't bring that back.
Yeah.
Please don't bring that back. But yeah, I mean, okay. It's one thing to have Nia Jax walking around talking about her fist and talking about how powerful she is and then demonstrating it. And then it's another that, you know, she's bragging about how she got lucky once and she broke Becky Lynch's face. And she's done nothing to follow that up to prove that that wasn't a fluke. And no. She just didn't accidentally screw up. Because essentially what you're having her do is walking around bragging that she intentionally injured somebody for real.
Yep.
Like, Becky Lynch is still on the shelf because her face has not fully healed yet. She's passed concussion protocol, but they're still waiting on the broken bones in her face to heal. You're essentially making, and this is my really base problem with the storyline, and part of it, again, is I'm conflicted because I love it when they take stuff out of real life and they bring it in, and if you write it properly, it works. This is not being written properly, where you're essentially having her take credit for and brag about the fact that she injured a coworker.
No, yeah, here's the thing. So I said this like 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. I'll say it again here. So Ronda Rousey comes out after Nia Jax screams and says she didn't come to talk, she came to fight. What should have happened? was one punch to the face and down goes Ronda Rousey, and you could have just left the segment there going, oh my god.
Yeah, that would have had way more impact than, pardon the pun, than anything else that you did in that segment, because especially to Ronda, who her two losses came from knockouts. So you have Nia Jax knock out Ronda Rousey. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal.
Yeah, so like instead, two big women, Nia and Tamina, fled when Ronda got in the ring.
Well, I mean, that's the appropriate reaction when you see an angry Ronda Rousey running towards you. I mean,
but if she's supposed to be a Samoan badass like they're trying to make her, one punch to the face, knock out Ronda Rousey, go, if she hits this on Sunday, Ronda Rousey is no longer your women's champion on Monday Night Raw. Instead, we didn't get any of that. We got Ember Moon and Tamina, with Ember Moon winning. Ronda easily dumped Nia over a barricade. You killed the threat of whatever you had with Nia Jax. Whatever it was, you killed it all.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, going into it, and we'll talk about this Thursday, you ruined the hype. Like, there's no believability that Nia Jax is going to win. You had a month to take a real-life incident and make it mean something. That's all.
That's it.
And that's Raw. As we said, in the main event, it was TLC, Seth Rollins retaining the Intercontinental Championship over Baron Corbin.
Like we said, this was a better Raw than last week and week before, so applauding the introspection, and also storylines are starting to pick up as we move towards the Royal Rumble, so that helps as well.
So, there you go. Matt, you bring up Ask the Rack. We'll have news about Ask the Rack on Thursday.
Yes.
Well, we have stuff to talk about. We'll talk about that on Thursday. So speaking of Thursday, it's The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. We're 1 week away, y'all, from Jingle All The Rack. That's coming up, so that's exciting news. And, well, we're going to be talking all about Sunday's TLC. We're going to preview the matches, let you know who won, who lost, all that good, happy stuff. And, well, you know, well, we won't let you know who won and who lost, because that's... But we'll preview the matches. Can you tell I'm tired?
Yeah. We'll tell you who we think will win and lose.
That's Thursday. There we go.
There you go. I can spin it. Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on all forms of social media. RackRadioShow.com. The Rack Radio Show on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Search for it. It's right there. Saturday night, midnight-ish at CBR Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What we're doing? I don't know. Who will be on the show? Who the hell knows? We'll see. Tune in. Saturday night, midnight, CBRLive.com. Right after Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, Russell Talk Radio will be on the air about 10:30-ish Eastern to talk all about it. We'll be back next Monday night, Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you follow and subscribe to our Twitch channel. If you're new and listening, follow. Hit that follow button right above the player. Hit it. If you like to subscribe, please do. All that fun stuff at twitch.tv/WTRLive. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter and most of the social medias at Linsward, LANSWARD.
Thanks to Gerwig.net and MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rack and right back here for the Raw Post Show. Streaming live on twitch.tv/WTRLive, streaming live on TuneIn Radio, search Wild Talk Radio Network, and streaming live right here at WildTalkRadio.com. Truth and let the wildfire set you free. Don't you remember one ember sparks a fire? One ember feeds the flames. Now burn, burn, yeah. WildTalkRadio.com.